Calling all Whovians. That's right, it's your nonfiction friends here this week, and we are talking about Doctor Who. And who better to ask than the biggest Whovian we know, Patricia.
Hello.
Hi, Patricia. Welcome.
Welcome. Now, I might not be the biggest Doctor Who fan. I am a fan, but my knowledge only goes not that far.
No. You didn't even wear your bow tie today, so really.
I brought a sonic screwdriver.
You can't have one without the other.
Well, I have a fez.
No.
Okay.
Bow ties. Bow ties are cool.
I was going to say, he only wore the fez briefly in one episode, and Matt Smith himself thinks it's hysterical that it caught on so fast. That everybody loves a fez, and he's like, I wore it for like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was a great, glorious 2 seconds.
Okay, so Patricia, we got some questions for you.
Okay.
When did you start watching Doctor Who?
I started watching it about 2009. Everybody around me kept talking about it and how great it was and this David Tennant guy and everything. So my husband and I started watching it and got into it really fast. We just kind of binge. It was when it was still on Netflix. And then my daughter kept seeing things from Doctor Who popping up into our house. And she was getting really, really curious. But she's really young, so I thought it was so
curious
many monsters.
Or concerned?
Well, very curious. She's like, what is that? It's really cool. And then 1 week I decided to build a TARDIS cat tree for my cats.
That's
and I just
amazing.
Hammered it and made this giant wooden TARDIS that my cats sleep in and everything and play with. And then after that, she was like, all right, I got to watch these episodes. So I got her into it when she's about 8 or 9 years old. So,
did you start at the very beginning or did you start with the modern?
I started with 9, so the modern ones. It was before the older episodes were available
right.
for you to stream.
Mm-hmm.
So you could still like get them from the library. You know, we have some on DVD here. But then after, you know, binging all those, you're like, more, more, more. And then the older ones started appearing on Netflix before it moved to Amazon. So, yeah.
I've actually never seen the old ones. You obviously haven't, Josh, because
No.
you've barely seen any.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They're really, it's really interesting. Like, it's really cool. Like, you really get the different, more variety, obviously, of doctors. Because there's a lot more in the older than the newer ones. And then you can also see why Tom Baker, which is the fourth doctor, was loved so much. I mean, he's just really fun.
Yeah.
Really just, you know, laughing. And I mean, he lasted 6 years, which is the longest one of the doctors has lasted.
Yeah.
That is a long time.
That is a long time.
Yeah. He wasn't letting it go.
To be a character that regenerates so often, to hold on to it for that long is saying something.
Yes.
Yeah. So who's your favorite doctor?
I think it depends on maybe like a mood, which is something also great about the show, is that there's so many doctors, so many different personalities, and then the stories, even though it's kind of like the same story, a Time Lord who's traveling through time, you know, and having adventures, but the writing, and it's a different feel. So at the moment, I really liked Capaldi, the 13th Doctor.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, he actually ended to me with a great ending. He just ended, so it was he did 3 years, 3 runs, and then the last one was great. I thought that he just really came into his own, and that's usually the cycle of when you know get a new doctor, you're like, who's this? I don't like this person, and then suddenly you're like, okay, and they're growing on me, and then you're like, I love them, and then they get a new doctor, and it's like start the cycle all over again.
Yeah.
I think he's a little underappreciated. I think everybody really, really liked Matt Smith, and he was which is the 11th Doctor, and when you switched from him to Capaldi, it was like night and day almost, and I think that took people
from young to old
a while to
goofy to like
very serious,
serious hard rocks person,
yeah,
with glasses, sunglasses,
yeah, but the last season of him was great, the storyline was great, everything, I loved Bill, his companion was great, I think
I
everything really. Really, really meshed well together. Missy was really good. All the character dynamics was really great.
I did like Missy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I stopped watching when Clara left.
Okay.
Not for any particular reason. I just sort of, it fell off my radar, and I haven't picked it back up yet, but...
Oh, well, the next companion was Bill Potts, and she's really great. Mm-hmm. I liked her a lot. And it's very common with Doctor Who, with when they switch, that they'll maybe have a lingering companion sometimes. Mm-hmm. They'll have the companion go through a little bit with the next, just so that you can kind of get used to the Doctor.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I wasn't really sure how Clara and the Doctor kind of, like, it was a very different dynamic that she had with the 11th Doctor, mm-hmm. with Matt Smith. So when they brought the next companion on, great dynamic. They worked really, really well together, which I appreciate. Like, they find that, you know, little charisma between actors. You can definitely tell.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Yep.
So do you have a particularly favorite episode or set of episodes?
I really loved, of course, The Day of the Doctor. Yeah. Is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I actually threw a Doctor Who party and made all this Doctor Who food. The Cassandra lasagna. Fish fingers and custard.
Of course.
I made an apple pie. I called it rubbish pie. And kind of like a little take on everything. And then had invited some people over and we all watched it together. But I think it's just really fun. It's a really good in between. You know, it was a really good celebration of 50 years, because that's when it came out, the 50th mm-hmm. celebration. So that one's kind of like an all-around fun episode to me. I do really like the ones that have some certain monsters, like the Weeping Angels.
Yeah.
I find them really, really neat.
They're always good.
Yeah, and it's kind of like if I'm in the mood for a little bit of a thriller, you know, right. watching the Angels Take Manhattan or Blink or one of those episodes.
Those are intense.
For some reason, I really like the ones with the Daleks. That's, like, my favorite.
That's interesting.
Yes. I actually have a poster in my house next to our elliptical that's the Dalek, the World War II poster, where it says, to victory!
Yeah. That one is cool.
It's right next to my elliptical, so it's like you work out, and you're like, to victory, you know.
That was a really good episode, the World War II Winston Churchill with the Daleks.
Yes.
That was a really good episode.
I like that one a lot.
Where, like... one came rolling out, and you're like, oh, but they're the bad guys.
It's like a tin can. It's like going back to the original Dalek where it had the whisks, you know, and
like
the plunger.
Yeah, that was a good one. So the Daleks are your favorite, then, of all the creatures in all the Doctor Who verse?
Of the evil-ish creatures, for some reason. My daughter thinks I'm nuts, but I'm like, they're just, I don't know what it is. They're just so single-minded that they are the best in the world, and they're doing you a favor by exterminating you, and I don't know, it's just like so silly, and especially when it's silly. That's one of the reasons I like it. It's not too serious, you know. They have a plunger for one arm and a whisk for another. And then when they open up the creature that's actually inside, because that's just the armor, the Dalek is not the, for those unfamiliar, it looks like a tin can basically with little round dots on it, but that's just the Dalek's armor. And when you open it up, there's this creepy little tiny little slimy alien thing inside, and it's just so ridiculous.
Kind of like a Men in Black situation.
Yes. I love it.
I remember, like, I was never scared of them because I was like, well, just find some stairs, like run downstairs. But then I saw the episode where they flew, and I was like, never mind.
Yes. It's kind of like when you see a roach on the ground and you're like, I'm just gonna squash it, and then it flies
away,
and you're like,
you're like, oh,
freaking out.
Maybe you are a superior.
Screaming, it's bested me.
That's good. So I should probably give the listeners some history on Doctor Who. It premiered on BBC One in the United Kingdom on November 23rd, 1963, and ran for 26 seasons.
Whoo!
Yeah. But spaced over, like, a while, obviously.
Still, it's a lot.
Finally ending on December 8th, 1989, with 7 incarnations of the Doctor through the time frame. BBC tried to resurrect the show in 1996 with a TV movie starring Paul McGann as the 8th Doctor, but obviously did not succeed because that's where it ended there. And then back in 2005, the Doctor returned in the form of Christopher Eccleston, and we've been traveling with him ever since, with 10, who was... Actually, I'm not going to say who because I'm going to quiz you later, Patricia. So we had 10, 11, 12, and now 13 is where we're currently joining. That's going to be starting later this year, right? The 13th?
Yeah.
She regenerated, I know, but
yeah,
she hasn't had her full season yet, right?
Yeah, she's already, like, did the glittery. Yeah, there she is.
Yeah, and during the Day of the Doctor episode, we got an extra doctor, the War Doctor.
Yes.
I won't say who did that either, because that's part of the quiz.
Great.
For later.
Now my mind just went blank. I don't know who I am.
Pop quiz hotshot. Yeah. I was going to list all the companions for the doctors, but when I started looking into it, I was like, oh my gosh, there are so many. So instead of doing that, I'm just going to ask you guys what your favorite companions are. Who's your favorite, Patricia?
For the modern season, I really liked the dynamic with Amy and Rory and the Doctor.
Yeah.
I love that. I thought they were a really good troop together.
Yeah, like a family.
Yeah, it was definitely a family. I mean, she always joked, she's like, I always wanted a kid and I got one. It's the Doctor. Because basically he was just a big goofball.
Yeah.
And everything. For the older companions, Sarah Jane, she was with...
Yeah, iconic.
Yeah, she was with the Fourth Doctor, and then she came back for an episode with the Tenth Doctor. Mm-hmm.
That was a good episode.
And she was with the Third Doctor as well. And then she, the Eleventh Doctor briefly appeared on her show that she had.
Yeah, Sarah Jane. Spinoff, yep.
Yep. So basically, she's kind of had a bit with four Doctors, which is the most.
The most for anybody.
Yeah, so... Although River Song, three.
That's true. Three. If you count her as a companion.
Yeah.
She's not like a long-term companion.
Yeah, she had three doctors. So, but that was cute. And then, I think the thing about watching the older episodes is there's not that many.
Right.
A lot of them were, recorded over. Mm-hmm. For a long time in the 60s and the 70s, so they were actually completely lost.
Yeah.
And some are still surfacing out there, like from some radio or place or station somewhere around the world. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, that's what we found in our archives. They dust
that
it off.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, they just find like these, like, oh, lost episode.
Lost episode, yeah. I remember seeing one of them come out, and I was like, what do you mean? And that's when I looked up the lost episode thing and was like, huh.
Yeah.
It was like 20-some missing episodes.
Oh, it was more than that.
But, like, that's how many are left now. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, they're filling it in, which is great. But some of the storylines kind of got broken because they went over. But one of a really fun companion was Jamie from the Second Doctor. From the Highlands. And he had one of those really good dynamics, the actors themselves. And he was just really fun to watch. So I'm kind of sad that there's, you know, gaping little holes, or at least what you can find streaming. To watch episodes for that, because I really liked him a lot.
Yeah, I'm curious now. You know, Josh, I know you haven't watched much of it, but who's your favorite companion?
I did like Amy and Rory. Not so much Amy, more Rory. I did love that dynamic. It was really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'll go with Clara.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I know a lot of people don't like her, but I do like her a lot.
She was okay. I feel like as a character, she was okay, but as a companion, I didn't like her as much.
Well, I mean, she did. She had a lot of levels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she had a really complicated story.
She did, yes.
Like, what is going on with you now?
Yeah.
Why are you
suddenly
in Victorian England and you have no memory? And now you're, spoiler alert, now you're a Dalek. What is going on with you?
Yeah. When we first meet her, she was
cool. She was cool because she was a Dalek. That's why she's cool.
Yeah. Oz. Win.
How about you, Rebecca?
Mine's Donna. Like, hands down, I don't even need to think about it.
I love Donna.
She's so sassy.
Yes.
And I was familiar with her as an actress before in English television, and I've always loved her, and I think she just made a great companion. And I know that the, the Doomsday episode where we lose Rose? Is that the one that's
yes.
called? Yeah.
Rose was left on the beach.
We're all sobbing because Rose and Ten have been broken up and she's like lost, and then he's dealing with it on his ship, and then she appears. And it took a really sad moment and made it really hilarious. And then the following Christmas episode with her in it as the bride was just hysterical. But like the moment where they're like, what? To each other for like 2 minutes is like my favorite Doctor Who moment of all time.
How about the one where they met up with each other again and they were on either side of those portals?
Yeah.
And they're like,
and they're
what
like
are you doing?
Pointing.
There's an episode with little adipose.
Yeah.
And they're like making these little faces at each other, and they always had some kind of like little secret language that they talked back and forth with.
It yeah, because really they were fun. Like brother sister. Like we had just been through like the romantic relationship side with Rose. And then later we get Martha, who has, like, she likes the doctor, but he's not interested. But I like just the brother-sister fun antagonistic of each other relationship between the two of them.
I agree. It was very refreshing, especially after such an intense kind of relationship with Rose, that it kind of broke. I mean, you had Rose, and then you had Martha, who was kind of interested in him, and then it's kind of like, okay, so every doctor's companion is going to be into him, and then you get Donna, who's like, you know, hands off, buddy!
Yeah. I think that's why I like it. I was over the romantic thing. I understand where they're coming from, you know? Especially with Tennant. It's pretty attractive, but...
Just throwing that out there.
When I was trying to think of my favorite episode, I literally just listed all the ones with Donna. And Blink. Blink is my favorite episode. That's when I started watching the show. I saw that on BBC America, and I was like, oh, what's this? And then I know I had a friend who was obsessed with it, and I asked her if I could borrow her DVDs, and then that was it.
That's a really good episode to start someone on. If anybody wants to start someone on a Doctor Who episode.
I was going to ask. I was like, where's a good place to start for somebody?
That's a good standalone that you don't need that much of a backstory.
Yeah.
The other episodes, a lot of times you are just mixed up in this huge story that goes throughout the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of need to pick up at the beginning. But there are the ones out there. Also, really good episodes to pick up on, or really any Christmas episode.
Yeah.
They usually end up very happy.
Mm-hmm.
You still get the feel of Doctor Who, and they are a standalone, mostly a standalone, and then it's Christmas stuff, you know? It's kind of fun. I mean, yeah, there's things out there trying to kill you, but it's Christmas.
Yeah. It's because it's the transition period, the Christmas episode. It's between the seasons and sometimes between companions or even between doctors.
Yep.
I liked the Starship Titanic episode with Kylie Minogue.
I thought she was going to be a companion so much because he was companionless and he was kind of looking for another companion, and everything was like, I'm perfect. I want to go on an adventure. And then she died.
Yep.
So, spoiler again.
Spoiler.
Spoiler for like 12 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're kind of, it's up for grabs when it's that long ago.
So what are you guys' favorite villain?
Josh?
Villains?
Villain.
I think this is a good time for me to bring up my book.
Okay.
Speaking of villains,
Josh.
Yeah. So I did do a little bit of research on a book that we have here at the library called Doctor Who, The Ultimate Monster Guide. Mm-hmm. So I chose two monsters from the Monster Guide to talk about, some of my favorites. The first being Weeping Angels, of course.
Yes.
If you're not familiar, they're like statues of angels.
Yep. That are weeping.
And want to kill you.
Yeah, and want to kill you.
Don't blink.
Yeah, so a couple things about Weeping Angels. They're what they call quantum locked, so they only exist when they're not being observed. So don't look away. Don't look away.
Or don't look in the first place. Right.
I mean, if you've looked, then you're doomed already. So the way that they quote unquote like kill you, I guess, is that they absorb your potential energy from life that you haven't lived yet. So they send you back in time and then they absorb your life that you would have lived.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sound of silence is my brain exploding with information.
We were talking about Blink earlier.
Yes.
Very good episode.
Yep.
So all the Weeping Angels in that episode are actually played by two actresses.
Oh.
Yeah. Aga Blonska and Ellen Thomas, who could move into different positions as needed.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was easier to have these two do that rather than make a whole bunch of sculptures, you know, in different positions.
Yeah.
How long do you guys think it would take them to get into full makeup? And
4 hours.
Let's see, Drax, Guardians of the Galaxy, wasn't he 6 or 8 hours?
Yeah, with all the scars on it.
So 6 hours?
3 hours.
Ooh!
Oh. Boy, we're way jumping over.
I was the closest. That's the closest I've ever guessed anything on the history of the show.
That's true. the other monster I brought is the Cybermen.
You brought one?
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh my god!
They are created from living human beings by replacing their bodily organs and limbs with mechanical versions. That doesn't sound very pleasant when I say it.
No. It's pretty gruesome.
In doing this, this removes the weakness of emotion and sense of pain. They are incredibly strong and ruthless because they don't have any sort of fear component.
Yeah.
Fun fact, they were originally created by a Dr. Kit Pedler, who was an actual medical research turned script editor. His biggest fear was the dehumanizing of medicine. He saw a future where spare part surgery was commonplace or even cosmetic to the point where it could be near impossible to tell how much of the original human remained. The result being, you know, the Cybermen, who would be motivated by pure logic with an overriding desire to survive, so much so that they would sacrifice entire bodies and minds for immortality. Sandra Reed, the costume designer who first made the Cybermen, they were very, I want to say like space shootists, like you would see like astronauts wear.
Right.
Although there have been many different designs over the years, the basic blank mask and the quote unquote jug handles of the helmet piece have remained.
Yeah. Pretty iconic.
Yeah. So you can find this book and with a whole bunch of other monsters and fun facts on how the monsters were made in this book, the Doctor Who, the Ultimate Monster Guide. We should note that our Dewey Decimal point this week is still in the 791s.
Yeah, we've been lingering here for a while.
We found a rich vein of topics in this.
You're supposed to notice, Josh. My favorite monster, the one I guess the most, the scariest to me, is the Silence.
Oh.
Yeah.
Visually disturbing and also mentally disturbing to me. That was a really good episode with Amy covered in all the notch marks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like that thriller if you want to watch.
Yeah.
That whole season, that storyline.
Yeah.
Was really intense.
Yeah.
I appreciate Moffat.
Can you explain what the Silence are to maybe those who don't know?
They're creepy looking monsters that make you forget.
When you see them?
Yes. Like, I don't know how it works. Patricia, do you know how it works? Josh, you're the one with the book.
Basically.
It only goes up to 10.
Oh.
Yeah, I should note that this book isn't up to date on all the doctors.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
But it's still really good for all the past.
Yes.
Past.
There's a lot of fun and interesting monsters that, like
the
special effects that, like, you know, they did the best that they could, and it was very interesting to see.
I love that one. Cassandra, moisturize me.
Yeah, the Silence, they don't really go too much into how it exactly works.
Yeah.
But it is, the way that they reveal it is really creepy. Just kind of, I mean, you just forget. I mean, how disturbing is that? It's a simple feeling, or it's a simple thing. Just, forgetting, but I mean.
Why are you forgetting?
Yeah, and I mean, I think it hits close to home on, you know, getting to people, because that's something as we age, you fear as well. So they took that and put it into this monster that makes you forget.
Yeah. That's what really freaked me out, because I have a really bad memory.
Did you see the episode with 12 where, like, they talk about perfect hiding and how would we know if it exists? Because we would never be able to tell.
Mm-hmm.
That episode creeped me out.
Yeah. It's funny because the Doctor Who, the episodes, you can either have something absolutely, like, ridiculous, where, you know, like, the Daleks, just absolutely ridiculous, and then, you know, enjoy it and watch those episodes, and then they also will just take a simple concept and just put the thrill into it, and you're just like, whoa, what's going on in my head now?
I feel like the most successful episodes are the ones that prey on, I think they even say something along the lines where, like, the thing that you see in the corner of your eye, but you never actually see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With, like, the Silence, and there was the Crack with Amy's storyline, and then the Waters of Mars, where it was just water.
Yeah.
But if you came into contact with it, it turned you into a monster. Like,
oof. Yeah, that's a really good one, too. That's actually another one that you can watch a standalone, I think. It's got David Tennant, number 10, in it, and it's one that's kind of, he's not really involved in with another storyline.
Right.
He's just being a doctor, and he's there. It's another good one to the thriller of it. Of course, yeah, bring the kids. Come on. It's for the kids. Well, for my daughter, I made sure we watched the Christmas episodes a lot. That was how I introduced her
to it. Do you watch it at Christmas time?
Well, yeah, but you can watch all year. It's Christmas all year. But she was able to watch it, and it is like a little thriller, but the nice thing about the Christmas episodes is that usually everybody lives. So
that's true.
Usually everybody lives.
Usually, except for Kylie Minogue in the
Titanic. There's a lot. Okay, fine. There's a lot of exceptions. But yeah,
that's a good point. I mean, death is a part of life. And I think they don't do it too much, though. It's not like Game of Thrones style, where, like, your favorite character can be gone in the blink of an eye. Like, they really draw it out, like, with the companions. And every time a companion leaves the show, I think they do it in a respectful way that honors the history with the companion. It's not just over and done. And you're like, what just happened?
Well, there was the one companion with the fourth Doctor. This is another name. Adric? A-D-R-I-C.
Sounds right.
So he just died suddenly. He was the first one to die.
Did he? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There we go.
Yeah, and it was, and this is the fourth Doctor, so it was, you know, quite into it. And, I mean, it was just shocking to everybody at the time. And, I mean, just the way that the characters reacted and people reacted. So they'll pull that out every once in a while. Be like, sorry. Done.
Interesting. All right, well, it's quiz time. Are you ready?
Oh, no. I can't even remember this. I can spell somebody's name, but I can't remember.
Patricia, you are our resident biggest Whovian. There's a lot of people that like Doctor Who in this building.
Yes.
But nobody's made a cat tree.
But right. No, nobody goes that far. You're the biggest. So can you
know what that says about
name
me.
The doctors in order?
I actually meant to look before I came up here, and I got distracted.
I would never be able to do it, so okay, kudos so to you at any rate.
And just I'm really bad with pronunciations, because that's a lot fine. Of this I've just read.
Listeners are very familiar with us mispronouncing things.
Great, so don't roast me on that thing. So William Hartnell is the first one.
Yes.
The second one is Patrick Troughton. The third one is, I'm going to skip him for now, because he's the one that there is a mental block that I've not really watched him.
Okay. That's fair.
The fourth one is Tom Baker.
Yeah.
The fifth one I remember because his granddaughter married the 10th Doctor.
Yes.
So he's...
And was in an episode, which is where they met.
Yeah, they met and it was adorable.
Yes.
That's so cute.
Isn't it, though? It's adorable.
And now I forgot his name. Wait. Oh my goodness.
Can you, like, with a visual cue of what he looks like?
I know what he looks like.
The celery and the...
Yeah, the celery and the crazy outfit, because it was the 70s.
The worst outfit.
What's his name? Is this is Colin?
No.
No.
That's the next one.
Darn it. Oh, Peter Davison.
Yeah,
she mouthed out for me, Peter. So, Colin Baker.
Yes.
Is the next one.
Uh-huh.
4, 5, 6, 7 is Sylvester McCoy,
mm-hmm.
Who also played Radagast the Brown in all the Hobbit movies.
Yes, Crossing the Streams.
Love him. So then, what am I at? So 8.
Yeah, which is the one you Tom forgot Cannon. Before.
Mm-hmm.
And then some modern ones.
Christopher Eccleston, David Tennant, Matt Smith, and Peter Capaldi.
Yes, and then we are going to
John Hurt.
Right, the War Doctor. And now, who's next?
Jodie Whittaker.
Yes. Are you excited for that? The first female Doctor?
I am. They've actually teased about it for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I knew. I mean,
did you?
They started talking. I mean, a Time Lord in front of you during Capaldi changed from a man to a woman when they died. They regenerated right there on screen from a man to a woman and was like, oh, I guess I'm a woman now, la la la. And as soon as I saw that, I said, the next Doctor's going to be a woman. They have set this up, and they've actually teased it in the past, too, all the way back to, I think Tom Baker is the first one that joked about being regenerated into a woman.
Yeah.
And they kind of took that.
But he also wanted to be a ginger a lot, didn't he?
I know that this is like not there yet. That's maybe, the running joke.
Maybe the next one will be a redheaded woman.
It's gonna be Ron Weasley.
Right. Oh, Lord. <Great. laughs> We're all doomed. The universe is doomed.
He'll be one of the Weasleys.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting to see how that plays out. I'll have to catch up before her season starts, so that I'm not totally lost, because I really am interested in seeing how that works out.
Yeah, I think good for them. I mean, branching out.
I do want to see the end of 12, because I didn't finish, like, I think I stopped the same time you did when Clara left.
Yeah.
You will like the last episodes, because it has one of your favorite monsters. Okay. You really go into big detail about it. So you a little bit of the history, more of it. And yeah, I thought they did a really good job at the end with Capaldi.
Transition.
It was a little, yeah, I mean, I get it, why it was a little harsh. You know, everybody's got their own little personality. David Tennant is pretty intense.
His was gut-wrenching.
There's a doctor for everybody.
There's a doctor for everybody. In your mood and what you're feeling.
For me, there's only 10. Nothing against the others.
Are you never feeling like goofy?
Well, I love Matt Smith because he's from where my family's from in England, Northampton. So he's a hometown boy for me. But it took me a while to get used to him. At first, I was like, no. Because Ten's departure was so traumatic for me.
Yes.
And then he came along and he was so goofy and ridiculous. And I was like, no. But then the pawns helped me come to love Matt Smith.
Yeah, that was really great. And when Ten departed, I mean, it was a long departure.
Yes.
I mean, he was saying goodbye to everybody he's ever been like in contact
with. Goodbye tour.
It was a huge goodbye tour. And then the Ood at the end, and you're like, and now the Ood is here. Come on. We've seen them like once. Right. What are they doing there?
It was a good one. So emotional.
Yeah. So don't, if you're feeling very emotional and you want to get a good cry out, watch that.
Or Doomsday.
Or Doomsday.
With Rose.
Yeah, then you'll get all the jokes of the rose left on a beach and everything. Although she kind of ended up with 10.
Yeah.
Kind of. She does. Clone.
But then she says, he's not you.
I'd be like, you know what? Take your second place prize.
I know. I'd be like, okay, thanks. Bye.
This'll do. Oh, well, we all can't be winners.
Okay. We just want to thank you for being here today and educating us on Doctor Who, Patricia.
Yeah, thanks, Patricia.
You're welcome. I love it.
Yeah. I look forward to watching more episodes.
Yeah, I've like, after talking with you about it, I'm like,
remembering, I'm very excited. I want to watch it.
I'm remembering all
now.
The things that I loved about the series, and it's been a while since I watched it, so I'm like, yeah, I want to get back into it now.
That's right. Make some food to go with it that's like related.
Yes. Cassandra lasagna. Sounds amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. So coming up in the library, we're gearing up for the summer reading program in all of the branches.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. Rock the Library. Buenaventura Lakes in particular is having their Rock the Library kickoff featuring Gatorland. I know.
Are they bringing animals?
On Tuesday, June 5th, from 2 to 4. It says, meet Florida's most famous resident and watch as the American alligator is brought into the room. So, there you go. Yes.
Yes.
It'll be alligator. Safe for your children.
Yes, I'm sure.
It won't be a Dr. Who gator.
It says, you will meet the knowledgeable and entertaining gator wranglers from Gatorland who will share stories of close encounters with some of the world's most feared predators. Then get ready for your own up-close encounter with an American alligator, all before it's time for photographs with reptile optional. Doesn't that sound exciting?
Optional reptile.
Optional reptile. Yeah. I want to go. I think that sounds awesome. Those gator wranglers are also hilarious every time I've seen them.
Really?
Yeah. They're hilarious.
Actually, Gatorland's going to be appearing at all the libraries at one point this summer.
Ooh.
It'll be every library's kickoff. We'll be Gatorland.
Yeah. We should do an episode where we just have a gator in the room with us.
And screams and like, where's the gator?
Oh, Rebecca's gone. Okay.
The audience just can guess me and the gator. The
That's fine. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Take lots of pictures.
So this week's closing thought is pretty easy. When in doubt, just ask yourself, what would the doctor do?
Doctor Who.
Ooh.
Ooh.